Well, as I said in my prayer, tonight I want to speak about freedom, being the 4th of July. And before I get started, I want you to know two things. As I go into this, I'm going to criticize America, but I love America. It's a great and wonderful country, but it's not our home. It's not the country that we long for, and it's not the country that will meet our needs. In fact, the promise of American freedom pales in comparison with the freedom which is found only in Jesus Christ. So I want to do two things tonight. I want to celebrate at a very limited level this country, but I want to put the limits on our celebration with the reality. America has offered and promised freedom, and it can't meet the promises that it makes. So tonight, I want to begin with looking at how America has viewed freedom, and then look at how Jesus views freedom. From the very beginning in 1776, when Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, he wrote of a freedom from tyranny, freedom from the tyranny of King George. And he wrote these most beautiful words that are familiar to you. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Beautiful, beautiful words that strike a chord within our heart. But for 90 years after that point, there were some who could not enjoy those freedoms, slaves. So in 1863, there was the Emancipation Proclamation, which effectively or attempted to free the slaves and in the midst of the Civil War. And he wrote, "I do order and declare that all persons held as slaves within said designated states and parts of states are, and henceforward shall be, free. And that the executive government of the United States, including the military and naval authorities thereof, will recognize and maintain the freedom of said persons." And then later on in that very year, Abraham Lincoln visited the battlefield of Gettysburg and gave the Gettysburg Address, where hundreds of thousands of men had either fallen or been hurt, wounded in this tragic war. And he said these words. He said, "Fourscore and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this," Lincoln said. "But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate. We cannot consecrate. We cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth." And so the Civil War raged on. And finally, the slaves were freed. Just about 10 years later, the Statue of Liberty was built. And with outstretched arms, the Statue of Liberty sits outside of New York City asking for people to come in. And it has these words etched on it. It says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." In 1941, as the war was embattled in Europe and in Asia with the Second World War, Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave a speech about four freedoms. He said, "All people everywhere should have the freedom of speech. All people everywhere should have the freedom of worship." And then he begins to add into these. He says, "All people everywhere should have freedom from want. And all people everywhere should have freedom from fear." And then he says these words to the Congress to which he addressed. He said, "This translated into world terms means a worldwide reduction of armaments to such a point in such a thorough fashion that no nation will be in a position to commit an act of physical aggression against any neighbor anywhere in the world." And then he says these words, "That is no vision of a distant millennium. It is a definite basis for a kind of world attainable in our own time and generation." Shortly thereafter, we entered into the Second World War with the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And his vision of a warless world was not realized as some of the bloodiest century continued to tear on. In 1963, another great leader of our nation, Martin Luther King, gave the speech, "I Have a Dream." He wanted freedom for all. He said, "In a sense, we have come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And this is what King would fight for in the following days. He gave this speech, "I have a dream. I have a dream that these places, these rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." Such wonderful words, and you know the speech perhaps better than I do. Ronald Reagan, some 20 years ago, was standing at the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin, Germany, as the Great Berlin Wall separated the East from the West. And he said, "After these four decades, after the Second World War and the Cold War, there stands before the entire world one great and inescapable conclusion. Freedom leads to prosperity. Freedom replaces the ancient hatreds among the nations with comedy and peace. Freedom is the victor." And just a few years later, the Berlin Wall fell and the Soviet Union began to crumble. There's much to celebrate about this American experiment. I'm grateful for the freedoms which it has brought us. But the American view of freedom is not what the human soul desires. It's inadequate to meet our need. And this is especially so today, as we are most concerned with our right to pursue happiness in whatever way we can achieve it. Americans today believe that we should have the freedom to do whatever we want, whenever we want to do it. We have fought for the freedom to choose, for the freedom to have uninhibited sex, to have unrestrained access to pornography, for the freedom to buy and use destructive drugs, for the freedom to love and to marry whomsoever we choose, however we want it. In our pursuit of freedom and rights, we have produced a nation that is enslaved to its passions and lusts. But nobody stops to ask, is this the freedom that we long for? To be enslaved to every whim of our animal passions? The answer is no. Isn't there a freedom that actually feels freeing? And with all due respect to this great nation, the greatest nation on the face of this earth, isn't there a freedom available to other people, other countries on the planet? Is there a greater freedom than that which this country, with all of its excesses and sins, can offer? A freedom for red and yellow, black and white, for those who are precious in God's sight? With all due respect to Thomas Jefferson and the other founders of our great nation, his freedom was not available to the American colonists who were under the oppression of the British king. Or for people who are under tyrants of the world, Jefferson's freedom is not available to those today who suffer under the heavy hands of government in nations like Syria, like Burma, like Nigeria, like North Korea, like Afghanistan, like Saudi Arabia, Somalia, and Iran. But there is available to every person on the face of this globe, under every form of suffering, a greater freedom. It is the freedom found only in Jesus Christ. And with all due respect to Abraham Lincoln, whose Civil War led to the abolition of some of the most atrocious form of slavery this world has seen, but even the freedom Abe Lincoln passed on could never free this nation of racism or free humanity from the bondage of sin. Jesus Christ and the freedom he offers us can. And with all due respect to the Statue of Liberty and the promise it offers of freedom for the homeless and the tempest-tossed throughout the world, the freedom that this nation offers does not offer freedom for the homeless and the tempest-tossed within its borders. Only the freedom which comes from Jesus Christ can bring freedom to the homeless, to the burdened, to those who are overwhelmed with trials. Jesus says, "Come to me with open arms, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, rest that this country cannot give." And with all due respect for FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and the other American presidents who have had a noble vision to spread American freedom throughout the world, the American vision of freedom cannot free anyone on this planet from the bondage of sin in which we find ourselves. And with all due respect for Martin Luther King Jr., and I don't mean to slam him in any way, he's one of the most biblical of these leaders in America, cashing in on the American promise of freedom and the guaranteed, inalienable, self-evident rights pale in comparison to the richness and freedom which is offered only in Jesus Christ. Amen. And with all due respect for Ronald Reagan and all these other presidents who try to spread American freedom throughout the nations of the earth, the freedom of America, great though it is, does not and cannot offer the freedom which can reach deep into the gulags of the Soviet Union, that can uphold people in the riotous and bloody streets of Syria today, that remains in the bombed-out buildings of Baghdad, the crumpled rock houses of Afghanistan, or can thrive in the drug cartel-ruled nation of Mexico. American freedom does not reach into these places, and it does not reach into the heart of the hungry human soul, which so desperately longs for freedom. Freedom not from the external oppressions which we face in this sinful world, but freedom from the spiritual and very real internal oppressions which we face. You see, the American founders and the subsequent leaders have freed us from the tyranny of others. But as I look around this nation, I find that they have unwittingly enslaved us to ourselves. Today, freedom is the right to do whatever we want, whenever we want to. But Jesus, in contrast, he frees us from ourselves and from our lustful passions that we might freely serve others. The Bible tells us that we are not free. Americans have to hear this. We are not free. We are slaves to sin. We are under the slavery of law and works righteousness. Most Americans think that being free means that you are free to sin. But that's not freedom. That's what the Bible calls slavery. We sin over and over and over. We obey sins and are slaves to it. Freedom is the ability to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. Freedom is to be able to live the way that you were made to by God, the way you were called to by God. Now Jesus, he was the only free man to have ever walked this earth. The rest of us have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and become enslaved to sin. But Jesus, he walked this land the entirety of his life, free, free. Freedom in Jesus. He was free from sin. But what does he do with that freedom? Americans talk about freedom as if it is free to indulge yourself with whatever pleases you, whether it be good or bad. It's all about you. But Jesus shows us what real freedom is. He, with his freedom, freely gave himself to death on the cross for us, in order to free us. He died willingly and freely to bring us freedom and liberty. Freedom that goes into the darkest trials of this world, because he himself entered into the darkest trial of death, taking upon himself the sins of the whole world. Freedom for Jesus was not domestic tranquility. It was suffering and death. Freedom for Jesus was not living the passions of his flesh, but living freely and obediently for his Father in heaven. For those of us who have received Jesus Christ, he frees us to live for him. He has not freed us in order for us to sin, as the Americans say. He has freed us from sin. He has not freed us to indulge our lustful pleasures. He has freed us to find our pleasures in him alone. And then Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then in verse 13, he says, don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Don't return to the yoke of slavery. Jesus says it another way. He doesn't say, if you follow your lusts and passions, you will be free. He says in John 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, and John, if the word lives in you, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free to live for him. But his audience said, the ones Jesus was speaking to, they said, but we're not slaves to anyone. We say that too. Americans, we're not slaves to anyone. We're free people. But Jesus responds, truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. But, he says, if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. Freedom. Freedom. Not the American view of freedom where you indulge yourself. Christ's view of freedom that you're transformed and changed into his image to obey and to walk with him. And this is the question for us tonight. These Americans in this room with freedoms unknown to the rest of the world, unknown to the history of civilization that we have, has the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, set you free? Set you free from the bondages of sin that have held you. Set you free from the hindrances of transgressions that trip you. Some of you know Johnny, who just passed away, and last week Rick had said that he had a recording of him, and I listened to it. There's some things I didn't know about him. But he served, I think, in Vietnam, and he served overseas. And when he went overseas, trying to liberate the Vietnamese people, right? He became enslaved to dope, to cocaine, and lived for the next 30, 40 years addicted to cocaine. Until one day he came into this place. They sent him out to the Freedom House to get extra help, because some of us, we need extra help, don't we? And he took the steps, every step that he needed to do to get rid of that addiction. So he left, and when he came back, he became a changed man. The word began to speak into his heart. He would sit here every service. Every service. Monthly?
Yeah.
Every service. And he would just soak up the word, soak up the word. And he was a changed and transformed man. From that first day when he walked in here to the day that he left, a transformed man. A man who was given freedom. A man who had gone across the world to spread freedom had to come back here at this place to find his freedom. There's other stories here in this room about that. Some of you have that same story. The freedom that America offers and that we celebrate tonight is wonderful. But the freedom found in Jesus Christ is worth dying for, worth going to jail for, worth suffering for, and worth living for forever. May God bless America. We know America needs it.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this country that you've placed us in. But speak into this country, Lord, its need for your freedom that only you can offer. We're a people in bondage to so many things. For the men who are in bondage here tonight, Lord, I pray that you would break these bondages in your name and help them to walk in freedom and not to return into their yoke of slavery. And go with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.